Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith over here. This is Foodie Life Radio, and I'm proud to say that we have now been sponsored by Big Rhino Screen Printing. So I know everybody can't see these awesome t-shirts that I'm wearing, except for you guys around this table. But they are sponsoring, and they've made us some t-shirts, and they will be available for sale soon. So we have to give them a huge shout-out, and I'd like to tell you all how comfortable they are, because they are. And maybe if you get one, you'll find out. So, all right, this is going to be a great day. I'm so glad I got out of bed this morning. All right, Patrick Bolster from the Union Public House. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, strap on because it's going to be fun, right? All right, Tim, Joe, and Renee, all from Hop Jacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ooh. Or Pot Hello. Roast, or which one are we going for today?
We're all over the place. Wherever. Pot Roast, 10 Cal.
Okay, so we got a couple things. I know we got Valentine's Day coming up, so we're going to talk about that. But I really wanted to focus on some of the wacky stuff that goes on in startups when you're getting started up.
Patrick, welcome to the group.
Since Patrick is like fresh in the, he's right in the middle of it, I figured this would be perfect for it. So, who wants to, what do you bring us, Joe? Let's talk about
that. We're bringing beers. So we brought your favorite beer. Whether you take it home and snuggle with it or not, it's up to you.
No, we're going to drink it.
Drink it here.
I'm going to drink it.
Cronenberg 1664. Awesome. French, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So Tim Domes is our beer nut. He is our beer, our sudsalier.
Guru. Yeah.
So we got a couple of locals again. We did one double IPA from Idle Hounds, which is right down the beach.
Nice.
Terrapin Blue, I'm sorry, Brew Bus. You're my boy, Blue. Blueberry Ale.
Is that really what it's called? You're my boy, Blue? Oh, awesome.
You're my boy, Blue.
Blueberry Wheat Ale, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. It smells like Will Ferrell.
I know Renee needed something to drink.
yes, something different than Sea Dog, so I'm excited to try another blueberry.
Yeah.
Terrapin Rye Ale. Not as local, but just cool, funky beer. And then two things I grabbed. Growlers,
see large bottles with Grolsch caps on them. So it's got to be exciting.
Exactly. So we've got a Beta Mardi Gras Bock for the Mardi Gras time, and then my favorite. It's arguably my favorite beer on our draft wall right now, and has been for months. It only comes in draft, and it's Oyster City Hooter Brown. That is
okay.
It's made by an awesome group. Cool people, like guys you just want to have drinks with, you know, just throw back beer. So
okay,
anyway, let's get a
start. Yeah, as I said, where are we starting?
Let's
lightest to strongest.
Let's go Cronenberg
there.
Okay, so can I tell my story?
Yeah, you can tell it.
Okay, so last time this was gone out of their restaurant, and I couldn't find anywhere else except a place I will not name because it wasn't served correctly. And so I asked, you know, if you bring it back, let me know. So I get a text from Renee that says, Jared left you a whole case of whatever beer that was that you wanted. It's got your name on it, right? So the lady and I go down to go see a concert and walk in there. And I was like, I'm going to the restroom. And she walks up to the bar and says, hey, there's a case of Cronenberg with Keith's name on it. And the guy at the bar goes, yeah, I highly doubt it. And
this was one of my bartenders.
Yes, this is one of your bartenders. And I'm not talking about it because how many people really have their names in the case? And so she's like, well, you just go check. So he goes to check, and lo and behold, he came back. And he's like, you're right. There's one back here with your name on it. I think I drank two. She drank one. This is now one. So we've probably got, 19 left?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That's a good couple of days. So I want to thank you guys, though, seriously.
Absolutely. Cheers.
This is awesome.
Cheers.
Salute. So I told my dad, who lives in London now, and who introduced me to this, and he was like, right on. So, okay, man, I got to know, Patrick, where's your headache right now?
Headache's good. I'm being honest. It's just, obviously long hours and stressful situations on the spot, but it's really, really energizing when you got people giving you a lot of great response and feedback from a new spot, because that's always the most nerve-wracking thing.
Yeah,
going into it day one, you're like, well, I hope they like it.
Yep,
because here it comes.
And yeah,
and when people
no turn it back now
to,
right,
that's it, that's yeah. It and every bit of feedback, I mean, we've had some negative stuff, you know, which is great because it's been very specific, helpful, and things that are very correctable.
Yeah,
So I don't even know if correctable is a word.
We're going to make it a word.
It's a word today. So yeah, I mean, my energy level is actually surprisingly very high, you know, sleeping
Joe's over here 3-4
hours
a
night.
Yeah. give him 3 more months.
And I've got my 17-month-old daughter.
Yeah.
Going on 17 years old. And, you know, she's had a couple rough nights the last couple of weeks too, where basically getting no sleep at all. So I'm actually surprised I'm feeling good now. I got a little energy drink.
So you have two newborns.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Exactly.
Yes.
One makes bigger messes than the other.
And I can leave one off at daycare. That's the only problem.
All right, man. Well, let's tell everybody what Union Public House is and where you are. Well, I mean, you can drink your beer too, by the way. Go for it.
Yeah. We're,
have you,
this is
I know you
ha,
have you had Cronenberg before?
Yeah. We carry a Cronenberg at our place too. Uh-oh. In fact, Blake, my partner,
I'll see if I get a case with my name on it down there too.
Hey,
we'll start collecting Cronenberg cases.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah. Blake Rush, my partner, he actually found a little vintage Cronenberg light up sign too. We're going to hang up there at some point.
Very cool.
But yeah, we're just, the name's Union Public House. People always ask where the name came from, and Union was the thing that we toyed around with names, because Blake, obviously his training in the Savoy in London for 2.5 years, he fell in love with the pub culture. And so we were like, okay, let's do something that'll pay homage to what a classic pub is. And it seemed like every name of every pub started with a name, an ampersand, and another name.
Yep.
So this and that, this and that. And so
Tom
we
Crib,
wanted,
Blue Post, there's all kinds of,
everything.
And you're right though. It's an experience over there.
And he loved it. He's like, man, this is what I ultimately want to do. I mean, he's doing some amazing things with food and has done them in town for you know, a few years, but he always wanted to have that place that was that kind of community place where other service industry kids would go to afterwards and crush a few beers before they, you know, get back up at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
and start
get the,
all over
get
again.
The Blue Plate special.
Yep.
Cool.
And so that's, you know, the name was just kind of like came from a union of sorts, you know. In fact, Jeff, my buddy, he was like, we talk about different names, and he was like, okay, well, let's do this and that, because it's kind of like a union of old and new, and a union of traditional and modern and whatever. And so that's where the name Union came from.
Yeah.
And it kind of tied in perfectly with not only the kind of union of sorts, but more of union of, you know, him and I are both service industry kids too. And owning our own place is just kind of like, the milieu is to kind of have a place where our employees know that we know where they come from.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you've been in the trenches.
Been in there, done that, still doing it.
He'll be back in about in a couple hours.
Yeah. You got me for about 45 minutes. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
I haven't had a chance to get over there yet. You know, I've been kind of chomping at the bit to see what the new thing is in town. I got the chance to open up 5.5 Bar with Patrick a long time ago at over at Vinyl Music Hall. And it's like, back then we knew that he was the show. He was the master mixologist. I was more like the nerd product knowledge Cliff Clavin of the bar.
The one I think Joe's going to say you still are, aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. not behind a bar anymore. I'm riding a desk. But what are you excited about with the new restaurant? Are you attempting new things with cocktails that Pensacola hasn't seen yet? And what's some stuff we can look forward to over there?
The coolest thing that I'm looking forward to is obviously having food there. Not only just any kind of food, but being able to pull flavors from, thank you, sir, pulling flavors from a menu and just using them in cocktails, showing that direct correlation between, you know, different culinary aspects, you know, drinking and eating, as simple as it could be, but we can go a little bit more deep with the flavor profiles of acidity to fat and balance and spice and sweet and salty and all that good stuff with cocktails as well as food.
And Blake started doing that? Have you started doing menu pairings and suggestions and stuff?
We will eventually.
It's all those things you want to get done.
Yeah, right?
We were talking earlier and opening up my own bar. I'm like, this is going to be great. You know, I'm going to be able to work a couple nights and then just, you know, floor manage a little bit. And then people start calling the phone and I've got to answer it and all that stuff. So the little, you know, cool ideas we have is basically going to be relying on my staff. You know, I've got some great bartenders that are pretty much, some of them never bartended before, but they have great technical skills from either the barista world or other areas.
That's it, man. You hire character and train the rest.
That's it. You can train to anybody to make a good drink, but you can't train somebody to be a good person
or smile.
Or have good work ethic or smile or just, you know, those little, what are words, those little traits you can't buy.
I agree
with
that.
So what's the, I know there's probably not enough time left in this life to talk about all the crazy things that have happened during construction. And let me tell you, I understand it. Give me a zinger. Give me like, I can't
believe this. What's the top thing you never saw coming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the building itself is solid. It was built in 1950s as a Salvation Army, so it's like a solid as a rock. So we literally were able to go in there and cut down some concrete and get down some plumbing. And, you know, I was in there about 5 feet deep in some dirt, just digging out some
that's good.
Some tubes and stuff. So, yeah, that is really tasty.
Especially for blueberry. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was thinking the same thing.
So my kryptonite is this blueberry beer. Because
that's yours?
You take a big, you know, whiff of it. It smells like blueberry muffins fresh out of the oven. And I don't care who you are or what you say. Like, it is great.
Take a blueberry muffin. Thank you. I brought this for you, Renee. We've set the entire can in front of you.
That's it.
Yep.
Who's the other one that makes blueberries? Is it Sweetwater?
Sweetwater makes a blue.
Yeah, that one I can have like three sips.
Yeah.
This one I could see drinking this a whole can.
Yeah, it's not bad. Sea Dog makes another one that smells like literally like blueberry pancakes.
You've got that one.
So I can have it for breakfast.
Do they still make Wild Blue?
That's crafty. That's not real craft. there's another nickname for that.
That's too sweet. That's a little too sweet.
Yeah, that's just syrup. That's, you know, 9% alcohol, which was a bad idea.
Exactly. So you only need one can.
Well, and people are drinking way more than that.
We've been seeing Wild Blue around the scene for a long time, and we used to have a joke that it was making a lot of ugly babies happen at 9% and expensive.
Yeah, there you go.
The cost to alcohol ratio on that's pretty good.
All right. So you were able to pretty much go in there and rip some stuff up. But
yeah, man, we were able to get our hands dirty.
Let's face it, though, dude. They tell you 3 months, they mean six, right?
Every single time. And it's like, construction is one of those things that's twice as much, twice as long. You have a goal in mind, go ahead and double it and double the price. And we knew certain things for sure that was going to happen. But, you know, this being my first venture and dealing with, you know, different city elements and stuff. There's processes that happen. They naturally take slow time, but you can't plan for certain ones. I mean, we were talking about trying to be open by like October back in March, you know?
Yeah.
So here we are. We finally did our actual soft opening December 31st,
yeah.
You know, so
New Year's Eve, huh?
That's it.
There you go, man.
Wow. Yeah, but you know,
rule number one,
yeah, you know, there's one thing that people say is don't rush it too, though.
Yeah.
You know, so there were certain things, even though we're chomping the bit, that was the biggest, probably like headache at the time was like, man, we really want to get going, but at the same time, once you rush into it, then you don't have that second chance to make that first impression.
Yeah.
And we had some, when we opened, we were still soft, you know, computer system hadn't been delivered yet. I'm not going to say that story online. A lot of four letter F words in there. But all the systems, I mean, you know, Chef Blake, man, he had a vision in his head from the get go. And it's just a matter of once the equipment was there, it almost went seamlessly for him to kind of like, okay, this grill's here. This is doing this. This person's doing here. And the kitchen was great. The kitchen's been awesome since then. So there's really not much crazy things that was happening. Just a matter of just delays and waits. And when we dig into a wall, what's behind it? Probably nothing good. Can we cover that right back up real quick?
So Patrick, as the one answering the phone, let me ask you, what was your go-to response when people were saying, so when are you opening? Because it is hard to give that exact date without, you know,
the number one question. The first thing I said was, well, when the building's ready, we will be open. But it is one of those things where I tell everybody that's one aspect that's completely out of my control. And people, they know that. I think as soon as the words leave their mouths, they're like, oh yeah, you know, that does make sense. Yeah. I wish I could be out there with a hammer and nails and no permitting and probably would have been be open, but also the roof may have fallen.
Amen. So,
yeah. The permitting. Let's not forget about that.
Yes.
So, all right, Joe, what was yours? What was your zinger in any one of your situations?
I think my funniest one, when we demoed Hopjacks. Hopjacks is almost 8 years now. Mm-hmm. So
Jesus, is he really?
Yeah, I know.
February 13th. Man.
Talk about being born in the middle school,
yeah, right?
We're getting into middle school now.
Yeah,
but I think the funniest one. We had a lot of doozies, but we had to completely gut the building. So the building used to be two sides, left and right, and there was a wall running down the middle. It's two different businesses. We're like, okay, let's tear down the wall.
That's been there for 40 years, 50 years, if not longer?
The building was built in 1904.
Okay, so a little longer.
1898. Yeah. Like, it's right at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
It's giant. We found these giant columns inside. First, it was going to be just, you know, we'll just cut a couple holes between the two of them and use it bar and restaurant. No, it didn't happen. So we got the space we did now, but we had to gut the entire electrical system.
Fun.
Yeah, so I'm really good at demo. I'm really good at tearing stuff up. So I'm going to demo the electrical. I had my electrician come in.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, everything's off, right? I just need to pull everything down, right? Everything's off. Yep. Promise. First, all of them, they're all off. Yep. No problem. Go for it, Joe. Took a pair of bolt cutters to the first wire I got my hands on and pow! Sparks flying.
Oh, like, yeah. Nice. Hey, at least it was the first one.
Exactly. But
so did it knock you on your butt?
Oh, yeah. I was in the attic and got tossed around.
Oh, wow.
Screaming at this guy.
Sort of leaves you a little bewildered, too. You ever been shocked before by grabbing the wrong cord or I was never the one sticking stuff in the socket. But. No.
Only my days as a sound engineer, you get shocked and the amp wasn't grounded just right.
Oh, man. You're like, you're dazed and confused literally for about 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah. Battery taste in your mouth. What is going on?
Nothing like 10,000 volts to you.
My signature move is when I get electrocuted is the T-bow. I merely go down to Excalibur, knee down, and just think about what I just did.
Think about it. Just
have a moment, huh?
Just simmer it.
All right. I think my zinger beats all of you guys only because this was a remodel of a kitchen and it was in a different state in. I had to go see it, but, you know, to make sure things were coming along, the contractor built the kitchen backwards. Backwards. Straight up, the plans were, like, mirrored. So the fryers and kitchen were on the side where the dining room was supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like the whole thing. And the dining room was now the kitchen. It's really weird.
So wow. Were you a tempered chef at this point?
No,
or
at this point,
like
it
crazy?
Wasn't my money. So I was like, you know, look, you guys have to fix it. I mean, yeah, I was pissed, but I mean, what are you going to do? It was built. I mean, they were literally putting in tile for the floor for the kitchen. Uh-huh. You know, gas lines were in, equipment was starting to come in. And luckily, they were able to save it and just switch some of the other things in the floor plan and make it work. But man, you want to talk about a bad day. That contractor looked at me like, no, it couldn't be. And I was like, dude, this is backwards. Your fryer's in the booth seating of your restaurant, man.
So for everyone that's listening, I know that you can't see us right now, but we're chugging these beers pretty much. I can't keep up with these boys right now. I'd like to take the time to apologize to Patrick's business partner. I have not met you, Mr. Rushing, but I am sorry because he is going to be coming in a little tipsy. We're throwing that energy drink to the side.
This isn't like an ounce per person. We're seasoned at this.
Look, there is a reason why I couldn't find, I couldn't remember which... What floor? Was
oh, dude, everybody
floor,
gets lost in this
floor?
Building. It's
I know,
funny.
But it's because I'm never sober going out of this building.
That's not my fault. Nor is it the thoughts of Foodie Life or Business Radio X.
Ooh, look at that one. He's got that on quick draw.
So what are we drinking now?
Wait, hold on. We finished the blueberry, right?
Well, we left the rest for Renee.
Okay, that's fine. Go for it. But that one was really good. I'm really impressed with that one. And I usually don't do the whole fruity beer.
No.
I'm not getting a case of it, but, you know, one will work.
But you won't judge when you see me out. You'll be like, oh, you go, girl.
Yeah. I got somebody at home that might enjoy that. So what are we drinking now?
So this is a Beta Mardi Gras Bock. We've been big supporters of Beta for the longest time.
What makes them so different? Because let's taste it.
Either, spring water.
Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
Like everything else in New Orleans, like all the bread and all that stuff too?
I can't speak for what the tastes are in New Orleans. That comes from a different resource, but north side of Lake Pontchartrain, they have a protected spring water base there, and it just really creates a very different pH balance into the beer. And then the rest of it is just taking non-fussy approaches to making really good beer.
Yeah.
Now you can't drink the water in New Orleans, but
the water in New Orleans is great.
Yeah,
seriously, seriously. So, and I don't know if it's the whole state or not, but I swear to God, the Gambino Bread Company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For forever was trying to reproduce Gambino bread in Atlanta. And they did. They were there for a couple years trying to figure out why it wasn't coming out the right way. And finally somebody realized it's the water.
Yep.
It was the water they were using. So they were literally shipping 5 gallon, the big buckets of water to Atlanta to make the bread. So I think after about a year, they realized that probably doesn't make any sense and just went back to New Orleans and stuff. But I think it was after Ivan wiped out a bunch of stuff. They had to move some of it up there. But so apparently a lot of stuff from New Orleans will only taste, or just in Louisiana in general, only taste that way because of the way the water is.
Yeah. Right.
People swear by the bagels in New York.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. There you go. Yep. Yeah.
It's the same.
Well, that was pretty good.
Good beer though. Yeah, they've been making great.
They've got some powerful, like not powerful like alcohol, but like bite to it in a lot of their beers.
Yeah, this one's got a nice, almost like toasted wild rice thing. It's kind of interesting. That's really tasty.
I always tell the story. I met my girlfriend under the beat of Taps. So that's the only reason why I think she liked me at first.
That's because you were drinking it.
Yeah, it was like beer. She's like, she can't.
Hey, will you buy me a beer?
No, I think it was more like, hey, come over to my big wall. Let me show you what I have.
It was not like that.
Yeah. All right, what's next? By the way, when we're plowing through, she's only pouring a sip, so, it, you know.
Yeah, it's really not that bad.
Yeah. At least that's what we have
there. Are you saying this so that for when your ladies at home hear this, they're like, no, oh, he did not misbehave today.
No, not at all. She's at work right now, so, you know.
By the way, that Abita Mardi Gras bot, get it while you can, because last year we went through 10 kegs of that stuff going up to parade days. I got 3 kegs dude, behind the one delicious. That's online right now.
Yeah, we're getting into the, I think this is more your beer style right here.
This one?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it smells good, man.
It's a terrapin rye.
It's got like a little caramel kind of thing going on.
Yeah, and Tim knows that this, I think you told me the story. What was it about the artist? Oh.
Dude, about that's the, right up my alley.
About the witch?
The artist on the cans?
Ooh.
Read something about like this. He did a stint with the, what's the Dancing Bears?
60s? Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead. Something like a Russian circus. You know, I don't know what.
The beer is starting to flow. The story get a little fuzzy.
Yeah, we'll go with it. But so yeah. So he hung out with the dead for a little while? And
supposedly he was part of the, you know, part of the art scene with them.
Oh, cool.
Or I could be completely misinterpreting this and got this completely confused, which is not
totally able to happen.
That's my clause. That's like right.
Yeah.
We drank a bunch of these and we beat up some hippies.
That might have got as close as it was.
So well, all right. So, and I took a picture, so I'll post it later, but it's got this turtle playing a banjo. What was it? All of these have really good art on them, though.
That's the cool thing about cans, man. They're
I know, they're almost collector's items, right?
They're, you know, when you look at bottles, it's like, oh, you know, Cronenberg's great beer, but it's, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not buying it for the bottle. You're buying that one for the beer, right?
Yeah, but the can is like, okay, let's use this entire thing and let's,
yeah, the whole surface is available for artwork, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people drink visually with their eyes before they go after anything else. You know, if they don't, there's so many craft breweries out there now. And if you
don't
know,
that's why Patrick does the big fish bowls.
Yeah.
It works. It's like the fajita effect. See that thing sizzling by? You're like, I'm going to have one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the big fishbowl go by and it's blue? Yeah, I want one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. These brewers know they need a visual hook to get people first, but then hopefully the rest is reputation, word of mouth. And but yeah, people drink with their eyes first, you know?
Yeah. Money, eat with your eyes first, too. I mean, it just goes all the way around.
So, Patrick, sorry, man.
No, go ahead.
Who picked your beer line? I mean, we're beer guys.
We basically kind of decided a couple simple ones. The one thing we want to do is to keep it very pubby and kind of like approachable with beer stuff. So we picked pretty much, we have everything from the oldest breweries like in America, like Yingling and PBR, and trying to get Schlitz as much as we can get our hands on.
Get PBR on tap?
No tap on that set. But we'll actually, whenever I believe Gold Ring's going to have some Genesee Cream's going to come in, we're going to pull it on tap. Be a fun little old school beer.
That's awesome. Tim is containing himself.
He's
right
blushing.
Here.
You know,
it's not the beer either. You
know,
that's awesome.
It's one of those things like, you know, you guys do such a good job with, you know, Hop Jacks and Tin Cow with doing a lot of great craft stuff and local things. And the last thing I want to do is try to like just imitate like other people doing great beer. I was like, we have a couple good local breweries.
You need a reason to get out.
Well, I mean, it's just, it'd be honest with, like, I think with us too, we're trying to approach more to that person getting off of a long shift and needing a cold Miller High Life instead of, you know, a big hoppy double IPA.
Yeah.
Knock them on the dead. They just want something quick, refreshing. They can pound a couple of and have a Scotch egg and be on their way. So we're like, all right, let's stick with that as our focus of these, you know, big malty American, you know, pale type lagers. And then we'll have our, you know, local breweries like Fairhope. I'm a big fan of their stuff. We got their, I think, Therefore I Amber. It was great name.
I'm still stuck.
One.
He said Scotch egg. You ever had one of those?
Yeah,
my God.
You know, you found a great restaurant when a Scotch egg is your nightcap.
Yeah. Here, take this, great cap, and get out of here.
I gotta say, it's kind of refreshing. I mean, I envy you in a point that you have a tight menu and
It's a destination for what's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we have so many beers, I had to keep Tim around. You know, right. It's just.
Well, no, like, in just like we were talking about 5.5 earlier, you know, we were at some point carrying 500 individual unique bottles at some point, you know, some Scotch whiskey, some all across the board. And, you know, for me being in it every single day, you know, it's easy for me to keep up and sell it to guests and introduce things to guests. But if you ever have to train anybody to learn all that stuff,
like, or order it, or inventory it, or,
you know, liquor's liquor's one thing. You put a cap on it, leave it in the back wall, it's fine. But beer, it's got a shelf life.
And just because the Excel spreadsheet can go to 5,000 bars doesn't mean you want to use all of them. Yes.
We're getting close in Hop Jack's history.
Yeah.
We're getting real close to that 5,000.
Oh, you should use your Chef Tech for inventory.
It's because of you, I got our resources on Chef Tech.
That's it, man. If you set it up right, it works.
But you're not going to get a sponsor.
I don't want one. Not there. No, man. Yeah, that's right. We used it back at Vintage Gourmet, huh?
Yeah. Keith gave me a job there. I was working the deli at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then
he was raiding the wine. I told you he was doing the same thing with us, man. Next thing you know, he was like, he had the history of the vineyard, who opened it, all this stuff.
Yep.
He's the brain man of beer and wine, dude.
Do we really give him though such a hard time?
definitely drinking that wine later. Definitely.
We love having our in-house nerd though. You know, we've got Pensacon coming up, and. Oh, I'm sorry, but I have not seen nearly as many of the amount of read as many comic books or watched as many shows or movies or anything as Tim.
And so, it's great and unfortunate. He's just as good at pop culture as at beer.
Yeah. So
Getting ready for Pensacon has been a lot of fun. And it's one of those moments where you look at your time chart and you're like, I spent how many hours developing concepts for our Pensacon parties?
Yep.
And this will be third year in a row with Pensacon. Like,
maybe this isn't just a hobby.
And third year in a row that both Hop Jacks and the Tin Cow get to be official designated after party locations. And so part of that is deciding what are we going to do to bring, not just bring people in, because we will have the crowds, but how do we keep their fannies in the room and how do we keep them spending on stuff? So it's refreshing the specialty cocktails that are themed to the weekend, coming up with
stuff. Are you going to dress up?
I don't do cosplay. It's just too cumbersome. It seems
there's
like
a name for it.
Yes, costume play.
I told you. Third Stormtrooper from the right.
Dude.
He's going to know who his name is.
That's awesome.
I do have an idea for a mashup costume for next year, and it is a Stormtrooper, but it's also going to be a mustache on the helmet, and then a regular police officer's like gun belt and a cape, and I'm going to go a Super Trooper.
So there you go.
Mash it up. There you go. Invent
great,
new
that's
fun.
Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, and we pay him to hang around too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Because he's good at what he does.
He's good at what he does.
So as much crap as we give you, dude, that's more knowledge than I have in my head about food, and I've been doing it for just as long, you know? So,
new beer.
So what do we got?
So new beer, I poured him a little heavy.
You got to spell it too.
There have been worse days at work, I can tell you that.
Idle Hounds, go ahead.
Divide and Conquer, but it's spelled conch as in the like sea mollusk in the fancy shell, and then an apostrophe R. So a little double entendre play on words. And that's from right down the street at Santa Rosa Beach, Florida.
Yeah. Idle Hounds.
You ever had conch? You ever made conch fritters?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
You got to penny those things. They're so tough.
Chewy. I love eating them, but. You know, it's a workout. Yeah. Bang, bang.
So I think the first time I had them, I was like 11 years old. My mom took me down to down by Mexico Beach down here and whatever that is, Apalachicola and the Cape. And she found one huge shell that still had the conch in it. And when we got back to the hotel, she threw it in the freezer or the condo we were at. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, watch. We're going to freeze this thing and then pull it out of here and chop it up and make conch fritters. Yeah, I was 10 years old. I was like, dude, that's disgusting. No, we're not. And man, I had one for dinner, and it was like the best hush puppy I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, you know, they're killer.
To try to relate it to a 10-year-old kid, it's a hush puppy. Just eat it. Yeah, just try it. Just try it.
So, I could just imagine that through the eyes of a 10-year-old.
Oh, my God. I was freaked out, man. It was bad. I mean, the thing was huge. It was probably, the conch was probably, the shell itself was probably 1.5-2 feet long.
Wow, that's a big conch. And,
so the mollusk inside is like, what, you know, 2.5-3?
Yeah.
Because it's all coiled around the shell. Yeah, pulling that thing out with some forceps out of the freezer.
I put two hands on that conch. What?
Man. You guys are... Renee, why don't you tell us about Valentine's Day?
Talking about food here.
That's a transition.
Gosh, we actually...
from the conch to Valentine's Day.
We actually, before Valentine's Day, we have coming up on Monday a big Battle of the Sexes throwdown. That's actually what we're super focused on right now. We have two wine specialists from Southern Wine and Spirits coming out, Miss Julie Pepe and Mr. Don Lott. And they were given a menu from Joe. He picked some different items from around the world. And they both separately looked at the menu and decided, what are we going to pair with it? And so they came back, you know, collaborated together. We put the menu together. And so I'm really excited. You know, obviously, I might be a little biased. I'm team girls. But Monday.
No, of course not.
That might sound a little different. Girl power.
Just keep going.
Yeah, right.
Keep going.
But we are going to Monday night. I have a good feeling that the girls are going to come out on top here, and we are going to have four different courses with two wines a course. So I think everyone's going to be feeling like they were at Pensacola Business Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so do the people, do the two that picked the wines, do they know what the other person picked already? So are they kind of...
They picked separately, turned it into us, and now they've seen the menu as a whole.
But it was definitely two different takes on it. And I love Italian food, and I love octopus. That's another one. So I started building menus. Like, let's just play around. You know, we're going to go country by country.
Yeah. Okay, so you got Spain, Italy, France, and America. So this is, can we let everybody know?
Because
I think this is cool. Okay, so grilled octopus.
Easy for you to say.
Grilled octopus per se, Valencia dressing. Okay, what's that?
Valencia orange.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. Not the region.
But that's kind of where the mental joke. When I make a menu like this, I kind of like, okay, that's kind of funny to me. So I'm going to play with it.
Yeah, go with it. Oil cured Spanish olives, Tatila cheese. What is that?
Spanish hard cheese.
Does it crumble?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. And paprika crackers. Okay, so I can't even go with the wine here. So Tim, jump in.
Well, the fun one to
Tim
say.
Can't go it either.
I'm not gonna
I brought the beer guy.
So it's an Albarino from the Rio Specia region.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be very white, juicy, lots of peach and some like stone mineral elements to it. Just going off my recollections. I've been into beer for 8 years.
Yeah, so
mine's taking a backseat.
Instead of torturing everybody with our pronunciation and bad ideas, we'll leave it to the beer, to the wine friends. We'll post it online.
Cool. All right, so, and spaghetti carbonara.
Which I love.
Yeah, who doesn't love good classic spaghetti? Beef bourguignon, yum. Well, look, he even spelled mirepoix right. I'm so impressed. And then apple spice cake for dessert, yum, with Humboldt fog ice cream.
Ooh, wait, what?
How did that happen?
I love the idea of an oddball cheese.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a weird... apple pie with the
in Wisconsin, that's what they do. They melt it. Right? Oh my god, it's so good.
So good.
Gouda's even better.
I haven't tried Gouda.
You gotta try it.
Tried it with Yay Toast, which is like the Swiss caramel cheese.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, let's just keep playing. Let's see how far we go with it.
When I've told people, I was like, you ever had apple pie with cheddar cheese on it? They look at me like I'm nuts, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Well, no, he actually, this dinner is going to be Monday night at 6:30 is when the seating is, and it's 7 o'clock is when the dinner starts. But Joe just actually did a micro dinner. He's been dreaming of, you know, at Pot Roast and Pinot, we have that awesome chef's counter that you can sit at.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of been the joke of, you know, you can sit up at the counter and have Joe feed you. I mean, whose dream?
Who knows what you're going to get, though,
yeah,
right?
Who knows what you're going to get.
This is awesome.
Yeah, so Joe just did his first micro dinner this weekend. It was amazing. I've never had artichoke ice cream, but it was
Jerusalem artichoke ice cream, so it's sunchoke.
Yeah, so. Yum. All right, so squid ink dipped sea bass.
So we were joking on our way in. Joe has some squid ink still on him.
I still literally have squid ink in my pocket, just in case of an accident.
Right? So, the only thing I've ever used that for is when making some pasta and stuff for coloring.
Yeah, making pasta. I turned this into kind of a glaze.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you mixing it with?
A really highly reduced fish stock.
Yum. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
Fish for those that can't see what I'm looking at, they'll post it online.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, I worked for a certified master chef when I was with the Ritz-Carlton, and guy was insane, yeah. best chef I've ever worked for in my life. And he said, you know, the better you get at something, the less you do of it.
That's right.
And
that's right. Patrick just said that. Yeah, he's answering phones.
The best cocktail, you know, the best mixologist in 500 miles doesn't pick up a bottle.
Yeah.
You know,
pushing paperwork,
pushing papers,
sweeping floors, and cleaning toilets.
Executive dishwasher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Master of the janitorial arts right yeah. now.
So have you seen, I saw it on Chef Chris Hill's post the other day. It had a bunch of pictures of chefs and bartenders, and it was like what my friends think I do, what I think I do, you know, and then what I really do. And it was dude sitting at the desk filling out paperwork. So I'll have to find it and post it on her site. It was pretty funny.
We're on to a new beer here.
Oh, you guys are. I haven't gotten there yet.
I think we skipped a couple of beers talking about them, to be honest with you.
Idle Hounds. Talk about the double IPA.
No, we did the Conch. What's this one?
This is my favorite. This is my favorite beer on the wall right now.
This is made by a good friend of ours, Mr. Bo Walker, over there in Apalachicola, Florida. This is Oyster City. They're Hooter Brown.
Okay, so let's talk about this massive jug it's in.
You know, Growler, we brought Growlers in probably... It's been 7 years.
I think we're coming up on our 8th anniversary. Yeah, so
it wasn't year one, but it was real close.
Yeah.
We've been doing Growlers for a hot minute.
Yeah. The great thing about Growlers is, you know, you can take that draft beer like Apalachicola. So this is Hooter Brown. It's a 8%, 8.5% or 9% brown ale.
Made with 100 pounds of Tupelo honey. It ain't cheap.
We'll probably need to go off air after this one.
Yeah. I know. But they don't have a canning line. They don't have a draft. Yeah. They don't have a bottling line. They do draft.
And that's what you get, right?
That's what you get. And, you know, Growlers are kind of a way to take that draft beer home.
Yeah.
Take it to a party. It's a couple of bottles. Thankfully, it's only taking how many years for the Florida legislature to
let you take it in your trunk or whatever,
take
right?
it in your trunk, but also stepped it up to a 64-ounce growler, which there was this weird law that you could have a beer that was 32 ounces or below. Or 128
and
above.
And above?
So
you either took a keg home exactly. or you took an Old English.
64, that's just inappropriate.
I don't know.
A gallon, though? Good job.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. You know? We need a gallon of 9% beer. It's a great idea.
Well, so you guys fill these with anything, right? I mean,
anything on the wall.
The bottles.
Except for nitro beer. Nitro beers don't play well going into growler bottles. Just it's pure nitrogen pushing the beer. It's the sole gas going through the line. The keg's been charged with
just
nitrogen.
Get a little weird. Just going to blow out in the back of your car.
Once it gets in the bottle, it tends to expand at a faster rate than carbon dioxide.
that sounds like a
wow. Which is, you know, glass in your yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we now thankfully that the 64s are allowed. That's what most of the country goes on, these 64-ounce growlers. And we are able to fill any growler that somebody comes in with. They're like, hey, I bought this in, you know, Seattle. Can you fill it with a local
whatever.
Beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we used to not be able to, we had to say no.
Yeah.
But thankfully the legislature got it together and
nice.
Made it good. So,
all right. So this is, what is this called again?
Hooter Brown.
Okay. And this looks like root beer.
It looks like root beer, but the great thing about it, it's nice and, you know, caramely rich color, but it's surprisingly easy drinking.
It's really good.
For a 9% beer.
Yeah, when you said it has how many pounds of honey?
100 pounds of Tupelo honey goes into
making
this.
And it's really dry, too.
Yeah, they ferment it all out.
Dude,
it goes into making how much?
Well, probably 128.
50 barrels, so 30 kegs.
Gets 100 pounds of honey?
Yeah. Wow.
And honey's cheap. Honey's expensive by the pound.
So do they own their own beehive?
They contract with a couple local farmers
who live
up on the river.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's the cool thing about these guys is they make great beer. They make a dirty blonde, dirty beach blonde or something like that.
Uh-huh.
They make the Hooter Brown. They make a small variety of beers. Not a ton of them. But the cool thing is that they are just such awesome people to hang out with. I mean, even if I didn't like this beer, I would drink it more often because I like the people that make it.
Yeah, Bo's a giant.
Every time we talk about,
always happy.
Every time we talk about these beer things with the chef, dude, it makes me just want to like throw a party where all of these guys just come to hang out, just so I can watch and see what happens.
We do that.
We actually do that.
So call me because I'll bring the camera and the microphones. I mean, let's do it.
You got a little bit of time to wait. Every year with the Pensacola Beer Festival at the Baytime, Maritime Park, excuse me, I knew that all these guys always come in town, present their beers for the festival attendees. Yeah. It's like, well, these guys are already in town. Let's just invite them all over to Hop Jack's.
Yeah, why not? And we got a bar big enough.
It's like, yeah, just hang out with the guys who make the beer, and we just start promoting it as a as you know, meet the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this last one we hosted out in our semi-new Hop Shack courtyard bar, and because it, you know, inside, you know, is going to be a little bit more crowded, because we expect a lot more people. And out back, you know, a little bit more space to move around.
I saw that too. You guys are done on the construction, right?
Yeah,
on that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let us not talk about permits.
It was great. So many people showed up.
It's a bar made out of 2x4, so you don't really need a permit.
Yeah, we just had a lot of fun. We had guys from
Brayton Beach.
Yeah, we had Bo from Oyster City. We had one of our sales reps from Back 40 out of Gadsden, Alabama.
Yeah,
we had a couple guys from Fairhope stop in for a little bit.
That's the cool thing is that we was able to bring in a lot of people that make the beer.
Yeah.
And you know, once you get in, you learn about you know, they're making all this beer and they're these untouchable business people. No, these are just guys,
regular
dudes.
We have Southern Tier coming by tonight. I mean,
they're just a bunch of people, and
they just got some really cool stories.
Yeah, well, Bo's one of my favorite lines with Bo. He goes, "It takes a lot of vodka to brew beer."
That's true, man. It takes a lot of alcohol to open a restaurant. Ooh. You know,
can't tell, there's a lot of information that Tim has and knows, and so we've actually just rolled out the Twitter Hop Jack's news account that is going to be 100% just about new beers, which we're getting all the time. And so if you don't get the opportunity to pick his brain, follow us on Twitter at Hop Jack's News.
Joe basically gave me the company expense to just feed my habit and carte blanche to order beer for downtown.
There you go. It's trouble.
So if you want a window into Tim's head.
Yes. Yeah.
there's a Twitter account for that.
Be very afraid.
There's an app for that.
There is an app for that.
Be very afraid.
So you got to get Twitter, Patrick, because apparently it's the thing. He's like, we got Facebook. That's all I can handle right now.
When we find that person to hire, we will be on Twitter.
Yep. Public service announcement,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
just email me. You know where to find me.
So you got to go back tonight, huh?
Yep. Not do a couple, probably about an hour and a half.
Yeah. All right. So what are you guys making? What's Blake got on the...
Well, he's sticking to the menu right now. You know, our charcuterie is really close to being completely done.
Big words, I can't spell.
It's charcuterie, obviously, is the art of how to eat it. Art of curing and aging meats and your own sausages. We have our own andouille sausage in house. We have our own version of a Slim Jim called the spicy beef sticks, which is amazing.
Yum.
The Duroc ham actually just finished curing. It's been curing for 18 months. And they shaved off a little bit of sample for us, and it's just
is Blake doing all that stuff?
Him between him and his exec chef Eric, these guys are just mad scientists when it comes to those kind of weird little, you know, foodie things, and it's just fun. Yeah.
So
I just get to watch everything.
You walk into the walk-in late at night and kind of stumbling, and there's 40-pound ham hocks hanging from it.
What's this while I'm putting it in my mouth?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
So these are the don't try this at home, because everybody else would make a Petri dish.
Yeah.
And these guys make awesome food out of it.
Oh, I remember my first Garmanger class when we made Gravlax. You hear about it, and you look at it, and then chef's like, just trust me. And I'm like, This is not going to be. It was salmon, which I couldn't stand to begin with. I was like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. At the end of the 9 days of my class, mine didn't have mold on it. So I was like, I must have done it. Yep. Pass that practical. So, yeah. Well, cool, man. So, I want to know, when you went to, as a bartender, when you went to hire bartenders, mm-hmm. was there this like death challenge kind of thing going on or what?
No, you guys touched on it earlier perfectly. You can try to find the best talent in the world, and if they are a jerk or a bad person,
I will never
hire them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, you can teach somebody a skill set, or you can teach somebody, you know, how to make a drink a certain recipe your way, but you just cannot train somebody to be a good person.
Yeah.
You cannot train somebody.
You got a little bias in it.
Totally. You know, don't get me wrong. I have my specific ways of doing things. I barked at Ashley this morning about, you know, shaking a Manhattan, but she snapped real quick, didn't it? And I guarantee she's going to make the best Manhattan in town for the next, you know, time she stops putting down the shakers. But, you know, like the hiring process actually has been the absolute easiest thing I've had to do.
Yeah.
Only because I think the excitement from that people have had for, you know, the union to open, they've been approaching me and I've had these, you know, obviously just being in the business, I've had these industry friends for, you know, close to a decade. In fact, Crystal, one of my servers, you know, I started at Flounders on Pensacola Beach in 2001 as a 19-year-old brace wearing kid that no experience.
Anybody in this room
tables.
Not worked at Flounders?
I did not work at Flounders.
I did work for the McGuire's company, but not Flounders.
it's a great education on high volume and how the inner workings of the back of the house works.
Yeah, it's how to get your butt kicked and still live.
All the, stuff, you know, all the server stories.
Seats.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was a monster, but, you know, I learned, you know, a lot of cool things from that in that sense. And some of the things I didn't realize I was learning at the time, too. But that, speaking on Crystal, like we worked together back then and just so happens that, you know, she came to me and was like, hey, you know, guys hiring. I was like, for me, that was, I didn't need a resume. I didn't need anything from her. I just needed to say like, hey, are you available?
Sign here.
Because I know she's a good person.
Yeah.
And to me, like, she was already excited about the place. So like learning about the products, about the beer, about the wine, about the liquor, about the food, she's going to want to learn that. You give people something that they want to learn, then they eat it up.
Yeah. All right. So here's one of the fun things that I know always happens. Cause you know, as chefs, we learn about mise en place, right? Mm-hmm. And out of all the places I've helped open, when it all comes in new and it still has stickers on it and you've got a place for everything, right? How long until it's never there again?
About 48 hours.
Yeah. So I know you do your bar that way because I've seen you set it up. So you've got stuff where you know it is. So is everything still where it got set up the first day?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
like I said, I've only bartended my own bar three times since we've been open. But that's the cool thing is we do, you got to have some sort of the mise en place, I guess is another fancy word to say it, but everything should have its place so that I know if we have our three bartender stations, if one bartender needs to float to X bartender, he should be able to just to slide to that. Almost blindly grab where that bottle should be just for matter for consistency and speed purposes. You know,
I try to explain it to the kids. They don't get it yet.
Yeah. In this room, we have the four people gathered who understand that concept in Pensacola,
but yet still can't attain it because it's left to so many other people.
Well, you know, and the thing too, it all depends on your setup too, big time. I mean, if you have a bar a mile long with all the space in the world and all the back bar in the world, I mean, you can get away with doing certain things with certain service. But if you got this nice, tight little space and where every inch means like money, it's like, all right, we have to really think about this. And Blake with the kitchen, you know, we basically start off with an empty hallway that was just pressing panini sandwiches out of it. And he was like, I can make it work. I was like, hey, don't make it work. Just make it like something that, you know, we're going to need to sell 150 seats worth of food.
Yeah. A
couple turns a night and do it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so
but it's a completely different approach.
Calculating all that stuff that one, okay, if I make one extra step here, that's 100 times a night. That's 100 extra steps that could take, you know, however much food that you don't turn out. It's like, wow, then you start thinking about mise en place for sure.
Yep.
So Patrick, if, you know, for those of us that haven't been yet, you know, I've been looking at this menu and obviously everything looks amazing. I mean, if I were to pick a drink right now, just looking at it, I am interested in the Jungle Bird as well as the Aviation.
Jungle Bird? No. Huh? No. Well, the Jungle Bird is kind of like my personal like favorite on the menu because
it's my type of classic.
You know, it's for foodie people that like food or that cook food and like foodie stuff. Drinkers that like, I guess, drinky type food. Like,
they can be foodies too. Like, we don't discriminate. We don't discriminate.
It's one of those. We're called drunks. Thank you very much.
It's just one of those fun and funky drinks. you read it and you lock in on rum and pineapple. So half the crowd that reads that stops right there. And says, man, this is going to be perfect.
That's it. Yeah.
But then they don't read
that's all I need.
They don't read the bitter liqueur part of the Campari, which I'm a big fan of. It's just bitter grapefruit and bitter orange peel and a little touch of, you know, vanilla on the end. But it's assertive, unforgiving. But man, it'll make a man out of you. It'll once you have it and you lock it in, it's one of the things.
That's what I've been looking for.
That's it. So this is one of those ones that like you put on a menu and if people order it, fine. But I just put it on there just because I like it. Yeah. I don't know if we're gonna sell any of it. We've actually been selling it, but you know,
hey, I mean, that's the one that I picked. Back? Yeah. I mean, and then food wise, I've already heard from a couple friends about the grouper and shrimp corn dogs.
Oh, but that's fun.
One of the ones that sticks out to me is one that I would definitely want to try is the prosciutto wrapped seared tuna.
Killer. Yeah. Dude, I mean,
those are two of the best proteins in the world. Ever.
The best bacon on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. And, you know, that's when we have our own prosciutto from that Duroc ham. It's just going to make it that much better. You know, it's just stupid good. But yeah, like I said,
the one you run into in the middle of the night when you're cleaning up.
You have things on there that are totally just you put it out there for the gluttonous person, and you say like, yeah, this is everything I want on a plate.
Yeah,
the miso hanger steak platter on there. Just if you look at it, it just looks when it's presented, just looks like your mouth just starts watering because it's bright green puree. Yeah, this nice cut of long, dark, steamy meat.
Yeah, that didn't come out right.
I'm not even. No,
you guys
I'm not,
have dirty minds in here.
I'm talking about food here. You guys, no. It just looks just mouthwatering. It tastes just as good.
What's the drink I always get? I always want to call it the chupacabra, even though I know that's not what it is.
Yeah, caipirinha.
Yeah, that's one. You ever had those before?
Yes. Oh my gosh, with the sugar, it's like better than a margarita.
Buddy, I went to culinary school with, his wife was Brazilian, and he made me one of those one night, dude. I've been hooked ever since. Of course, I can't pronounce it, so Patrick was really the only one that could make it. That thing that I like with all the stuff mashed up together.
I'll get a capain ronha. Yeah, exactly.
Caipirinha.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I was calling it chupacabra forever. So. All right, guys. What did we miss? Because we're getting to the end of time here.
You mentioned flounders a bit ago, and when I moved back in town in 2003, mm-hmm. I was one of the few people who called me back for a job. And I sat there in that parking lot in my car.
Joey, there is one more. There is one other person that's done that.
I sat in my car and I watched the fanny pack tourists with the black socks up to the knees strolling in, and I saw the people coming out and just like. I shook my head and it's like, I just looked daggers at the plate. It's like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
I will lose my soul if I do this. Nothing against flounders. I can't do tourist restaurants. I just did 4 years in New Orleans and the tours, I just needed something refreshed and real. And that's when I held out and I finally got a call back from.
Oh, this guy?
This guy, Keith Hilfert.
Guilty. Guilty as charged.
I missed the tuna niçoise.
So there's three of us apparently.
Maybe he was drunk. I don't know.
I missed the tuna niçoise. I missed the mahamra.
I'm a slow learner.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun.
I still make the Mediterranean pasta salad and that tarragon chicken salad we had like crazy. Oh, it's one of those that just was always on the shelf.
I missed the crazies we had in the kitchen.
Yeah, we did have some cuckoos.
Dave and Jocko.
I don't think you
are
can
we
have
allowed
a
name drop?
these are first names. These are first names. And Jocko is a made-up name.
Yeah, that's true. And he doesn't even live here anymore. No. So, but I don't think you have a kitchen unless you have a couple of crazies.
Oh, man.
And if you look around and you can't identify them, it's probably you.
It's probably you, yeah.
The inmates have taken over the asylum. And the captain's asleep at the wheel.
That's right. So,
so definitely, I mean, you know, but definitely be sure to come out and visit Pot Roast and Pinot for the He Said, She Said wine dinner.
Okay, so when is that again?
That is going to be this Monday, the 25th.
Yeah, that's right. 25th.
Yeah.
Starts at 7 o'clock.
Do you need reservations? How many beers later?
Yeah, it'll sell out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's only about 10 seats left right now. We're a 65 seat restaurant. And there's only about 10 seats left right now. So definitely reservations.
Where? Send them. Where?
Give us a call. 850-607-7336.
Man, cool. I've always needed a handler.
That's it. You got one now.
Yeah. And we're actually
getting pretty good at it, too.
We're going to have a wait list going on as well, just in case, you know, anything is to come up. But, you know, Mardi Gras is coming up right around the corner, you know, the parade and everything. We have, obviously, we all tried on air the Mardi Gras Bach from Avita, but we're also going to have Tim for the those who cannot drink or are underage.
Yes. I got my hands on some for the first time ever. Avita is doing a non-alcoholic soda. It's Mardi Gras King Cake Soda.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically
sugar and energy all in one.
Frosting and cinnamon in a bottle.
It's gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Oh, that's cool.
And what they also have, and what we've been pouring on draft for a number of years, and we also have their non-alcoholic root beer. So we're going to have something out there on the patio for the kids.
Cool.
Yeah. And then after Mardi Gras, I mean, right around the corner is Pensacon. And so Hop Jacks is going to be turned into a living comic book. It's Pow Zap Slam Superheroes versus Villains. Mm-hmm. And then the Tin Cow, you know, of course, you're being inside Tim's mind again. Total opposite end of the spectrum. We are also at the Tin Cow going to have a horror theme. So it's something wicked. This way comes a celebration of horror.
Very cool. Very cool.
You never know when these celebrities from Pensacon will show up, and they have.
That's the coolest thing about
Who did you drink with last year?
Tyler Mayne, a whole bunch of people to come.
And, well, many others, but Tyler Mayne was in Hop Jacks for a bit, and I got my picture with him in there, and he like towers
a few inches.
Funny thing
is, I never recognize him out of costume, so I don't know who any of these people are.
So you're not going with Tim.
But when they dress
wrong.
Up in their characters, exactly. I'm like, oh, I know you.
Yeah. Billy Dee Williams was at Pot Roast, and it's like, yeah. Okay, I know he.
Yeah. The funny thing is, Billy D. Williams.
You're like, Lando!
Billy D. Williams got mad at the menu because obviously Pot Roast and Pinot takes classic comfort food and puts a more modern twist to it. And he's looking at the menu and the chicken nuggets. Yeah. They're actually, they were sweetbreads, right?
Sweetbreads, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
he was totally down for chicken nuggets.
He's like, those aren't chicken nuggets. That's not cool. He's like, no. See, it's a play on the concept.
Did he really say that's not cool?
That's not cool, man. That's not chicken nuggets. You got to call it something else.
That is probably the coolest.
This is what
like,
we do.
That's the coolest time in Pensacola. I don't care where you go.
Yeah.
You know, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
packed.
Awesome. It's packed. You never know who you're going to see. Me, I never knew who I'm standing next to because I don't know him anyway.
Yeah.
Unless it's Billy Dee.
That's what I'm saying. Unless they're in costume.
Yeah.
When you close down the hotel bar with little person actor Deep Roy, you know you've done something special. When you're playing Cards Against Humanity with Harry Potter actresses, you've done something special. At three in the morning.
Have you played that game?
It's awesome.
Oh.
We should play that on the air here sometime.
No, we should not.
It's wonderfully inappropriate.
Oh, my gosh. I played that over Christmas. Oh, dude. The first time I'd ever seen it, heard it, played. Oh, my God. I probably busted a gut. And I wasn't even drunk.
Like, you don't have to be.
It's just that funny.
Yeah. You don't have to be.
It's funny, but then you get to realize like how dark your friends are.
Yeah. Or you, for that matter.
Or me. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I thought I came up with that on my own.
Huh? The guy who started Cards Against Humanity just sent a big donation to those Occupy guys out in Oregon not too long ago, last week. We won't really discuss what he sent. Just look it up, kids.
Okay, so I know Tim's not allowed to answer this one because he's not allowed to show favoritism, but everybody else, go around the room. You know, I'm the competitive one in the room. So which beer out of all of these ones we tried today was your favorite, Patrick?
Honestly, it's going to be a tie between, be honest with it, the Mardi Gras Bock. It just really reminded me of some toasted like rice or some rice and beans dish on a savory note. And so, because I was hungry. But that Oyster City was really good too. I was expecting it to be a lot more sweet and had a lot more body, but it was lean, it was dry, but still had all the flavor and just, it was great. The other ones are good too, but those two were definitely the standouts for me.
All right, Keith, other than your Cronenberg.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't pick that one. That's
this
your easy
one,
button.
The Terrapin?
The Terrapin Rye Pale, yeah.
And where's the other? And I'll have to say the blueberry one.
Yay!
The blueberry one was pretty good. Again, I can finish the bottle. I mean, I can finish the can. I don't think I could drink two or three.
Yeah.
But I like the Sweetwater one, I can only take two or three sips though because it's just got so much. This one was pretty good too though.
The Hooter Brown?
The Hooter Brown. And it's got like the color of Guinness, but it goes down real smooth, you know?
It's all in the bees.
Real smooth. And I don't feel like I've just had a demi loaf of bread when I'm done.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
Cut that with a knife.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, Tim. Oh, Tim can't say.
Yeah, Joe.
Well, you could say, but yeah, we know it's biased, right?
I already told mine.
No, there's no bias to it. It's just, each beer has its own merit for its own things. Joe managed to pick out. I did not pick out. Joe brought his own cross-section of beers that we carry amongst our restaurant groups and something for different palates, different pleasures.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not biased.
Cool.
I like them all equally. I love all my children.
You got website and all that good stuff, right?
Yep. The current website is going to be www.union. That's UNION.
It's on your shirt.
FL as in Florida.com. Our Facebook page is just facebook.com/UnionPensacola. That's exact same for our Instagram as well. We are open pretty much wide open from Monday through Saturday for lunch at 11 a.m. all the way through 10 p.m. at night, which that's when our late night menu starts. So when Monday through Wednesday, we'll have a late night menu available till midnight, Thursday through Saturday, all the way until when people decide to leave or you got to kick them out. So
I think what Patrick just says, he's now working 24/7 for the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
or five.
Yeah. I think Sunday's his new favorite day of the week. Yes.
Definitely 24/7.
I'll let Renee rattle off the things because she's good at that.
Yeah. But
I will give you a little caveat.
Uh-huh.
I want to break. We have a new restaurant coming.
Okay.
Completely new concept.
Okay.
In downtown.
Okay.
And we're going to break it the next time we hang out.
Sweet.
So, tomorrow? it'll have to be after.
You cannot leave the show with a cliffhanger. That is so wrong.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Leave him with a teaser.
Yeah. We'll break it here.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. So you got to rattle off.
All right. Well, Hammer. I mean, gosh, I mean, you know, look us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, online, Hop Jack's Pizza Kitchen, yeah. Tap Room, Pot Roast and Pinot, the Tin Cow. You'll find us everywhere. Yeah,
awesome.
Pretty easy to find.
Did MySpace ever go away? Like, can you find your own MySpace?
You're the musician.
I can't remember how to log
into
my account.
Yeah, I totally forgot about MySpace.
It's there. It's just, I don't know how I'd get into my own account.
Yeah.
I logged in. They deleted all of our old stuff, and you need to be a band to be on MySpace.
I have a band.
All right. Yeah.
We're not very good. But
Keith, get back on. Yeah.
Hey.
Going to get your MySpace on.
That's it.
Play us out, Keith. Let your band play us out.
Well, you know, we got to get good first. So, all right, guys, you can find us at Piccolo Radio. Radio X, or on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Foodie Life One. And I want to thank you guys all for coming in, hanging out.
Thank you. It's always fun to drink with you. Thanks for having us. Great, man. Thank you very much.
So, Patrick, man, good luck. You call us if you need help, dude. We'll come bail you out.
You need to borrow limes or something like that.
Seriously, you need to wash dishes. I need therapy. You know. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Until next time, this has been Foodie Life on Pensacola Business Radio. Mm-hmm.